It's time for justice. Welcome to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 97.3 FM WRIR and at www.wrir.org. I'm your host, Marty Wigley. This show is written and produced by Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. We give free, civil, non-criminal legal aid to low-income people in Richmond, Petersburg, Charlottesville, and surrounding cities and counties. Coming up on this week's show...
Just like you and me, animals feel fear, pain, distress, and also joy and companionship. And they also have interests. They want to be free to make choices about their lives and express their natural behaviors and follow their instincts. Animal rights means that humans need to consider those interests and that they can't be compromised just because it might be convenient to us. And for that reason, PETA believes that animals are not ours to eat, wear, use for experimentation, or use for our entertainment.
Attorney Rachel Matthews at the PETA Foundation's Captive Animal Law Enforcement Unit explains why animals are not ours to eat, wear, experiment on, use for entertainment, or abuse in any way. And during this week's News You Can Use, we explain why Virginia car title lenders are chronic lawbreakers at least 9,170 times. All that and more coming up. Stay with us. The show is supported in part by a grant from the Virginia Law Foundation. This show, number 278, is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society and gives only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford an attorney, we'll tell you later in the show how to get free legal advice or representation in a civil case. The Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show is heard every Wednesday at 12:30 on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio, and online at www.wrir.org, and is made possible by community radio volunteers at WRIR. And now, this week's News You Can Use. The three biggest car title lenders, TitleMax, LoanMax, and Fast Auto Loans, have been getting consumer finance licenses under different corporate names and then giving unsuspecting borrowers consumer finance loans instead of car title loans. TitleMax uses the different name of TMX Finance. LoanMax uses the different name of Quick Click Cash. Fast Auto Loans uses the different name of Virginia Auto Loans. Why would they use a different corporate name to make a consumer finance loan instead of a car title loan? So they can evade the restrictions placed on them by the Motor Vehicle Title Loan Act. For example, a loan made under the Consumer Finance Act can be longer than 1 year. The lender can sue the borrower for a deficiency after the car is repossessed. They don't have to stop charging interest to borrowers who are 60 days behind, and they don't have to give the borrower the required disclosures. Legal aid societies around the state and the Car Title Loan Hotline have had many calls from consumers about this. Every caller had no idea that a consumer finance loan and not a car title loan had been given to them. The Bureau of Financial Institutions knows the car title lenders are doing this, and they are okay with it as long as the car title lender gives the borrower another piece of paper that says you could get either a car title loan or a consumer finance loan. This is ridiculous because the borrower isn't going to understand and the lender is handing them paperwork for a consumer finance loan only. The Bureau is dead wrong to allow this. The Motor Vehicle Title Loan Act says that car title lenders, quote, shall not, one, engage in any unfair, misleading, deceptive, or fraudulent acts or practices in the conduct of its businesses, or, two, engage in any business or activity that directly or indirectly results in an evasion of the provisions of this chapter, end quote. What other purpose could there be for these loans under the Consumer Finance Act except to mislead, deceive, and evade the Motor Vehicle Title Loan Act? The Virginia Poverty Law Center recently discovered that the Bureau of Financial Institutions does make consumer finance companies report on how many loans they have open at the end of the year, and they put the information into their annual report. At the end of 2014, the car title loan identical twin sister companies, TMX Finance, Quick Click Cash, and Virginia Auto Loans, had 9,170 loans open. If you have one of these loans, call the Car Title Loan Hotline at 866-830-4551. With this week's News You Can Use, this is your host, Marty Wegebright. Welcome back to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio. We're here at the offices of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society, and we are speaking with Rachel Matthews. She is counsel to PETA, that is People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. And today we will be discussing animal abuse, animal protection, animal rights, and what PETA and the PETA Foundation do to protect animals. Welcome to the show, Rachel.
Thank you.
So will you please start by telling our listening audience what is the PETA Foundation that you work for, and how does it differ from PETA itself?
Sure. The PETA Foundation is a separate 501c3 entity that was organized to provide support services for PETA. So it has all of the lawyers who help support PETA's work for the PETA Foundation, including me, and I work in the PETA Foundation's Captive Animal Law Enforcement Division, which consists of attorneys, a veterinarian, several wildlife biologists, and of course support staff who all work to end the use and abuse of animals for our entertainment in circuses and roadside zoos.
And we will be talking about animal abuse, animal protection, and animal rights in the entertainment industry a little later in the interview. But there are other areas that PETA and the PETA Foundation work on. Would you briefly tell us what those are, and then we'll go through them one by one?
PETA is the largest animal rights organization in the world, and it works through investigations and animal rescue, eye-catching demonstrations, and groundbreaking litigation in order to end the use of animals for food, for fashion, for laboratory testing, for entertainment, and in any other way.
And so tell us, to start off with, what are some of the abuses, the problems in the food industry, in using animals in factory farms, for example?
Well, animals who are used for food undergo some of the worst abuses out there. There are, on the farm, for example, chickens will have their beaks cut off, and male chicks who can't be used for laying eggs will be, the second they're hatched, basically pulled out of a batch and thrown into a grinder because they're considered useless for eggs. Cows will have their tails docked so that they can't bite each other's tails, and other cows will have their horns removed because so that they can't injure workers and other cows. In addition to that, there's of course the horrors of being transported and slaughtered.
And so are these common practices in the food industry?
Absolutely. The factory farming is sort of the bedrock of our food chain in the United States.
And aren't there laws that protect animals in these situations that would require that they be treated in a more humane fashion?
Well, the laws that do exist are very, very minimal, and animal cruelty laws across the country actually often have exemptions to the law specifically for the use of animals for food and also for things like regulatory testing or laboratory testing.
And so what about the fashion industry? You mentioned that. Are there similar types of abuses there?
There are. Animals who are used for their fur, for their skin, and for their wool absolutely undergo similar kinds of abuse. PETA recently released an undercover investigation of what happens on crocodile farms for and alligator farms for the reptiles whose skins are used to create those really expensive Hermes bags. They're called the Birkin bag, or were once called the Birkin bag, once Jane Birkin saw how animals were confined and really crudely killed for their skin. She asked for her name to be taken off the bag.
What about or fashion industry practices that don't actually kill the animal? Like, I understand PETA is against the use of wool because it comes from sheep. Are there abuses there that people should know about?
PETA also recently just released a new undercover investigation of some of the wool suppliers who supply wool to the outdoor company Patagonia, and which supposedly had a what it called an ethical supply chain. And what that investigation revealed was sheep being really crudely shorn and injured. And one of the practices of the wool industry is to actually cut off the skin around a sheep's tail in order to prevent some sort of a fly infestation. But there's no anesthesia used for that. It's crudely done and very bloody. And as a result of that, Patagonia has cut off its supply, its wool supply from that company.
And are there humane ways to use animals for clothing needs, or for that matter, are there humane ways to use animals in the food industry? Or does PETA think that no matter what method is used, it's inherently animal abuse and needs to be ended?
Just like you and me, animals feel fear, pain, distress, and also joy and companionship. And they also have interests. They want to be free to make choices about their lives and express their natural behaviors and follow their instincts. Animal rights means that humans need to consider those interests and that they can't be compromised just because it might be convenient to us. And for that reason, PETA believes that animals are not ours to eat, wear, use for experimentation, or use for our entertainment.
And so you mentioned certainly animals are not ours to use for our own convenience. And one of the things you mentioned was animal experimentation. Can you talk about some of the abuses that PETA has seen in the area of animal experimentation and animal testing?
Animals who are used in experimentation really do endure some of the most horrific abuses. And one of PETA's flagship cases from the 80s was an undercover investigation of a vivisector up in Maryland who was shackling monkeys in these bindings and really exposing them to painful and psychologically distressing experiments. Unfortunately, those practices have continued, and most recently, PETA's investigations have found that there are still researchers out there who are subjecting primates to psychologically distressing experiments, taking primate babies away from their mothers. And then on top of that, there are all sorts of rabbits and cats and dogs and pigs who are exposed to and subjected to these incredibly painful and torturous experiments.
Well, now what about animal testing, particularly foods that need to be tested or new drugs that need to be tested? I understand that, I think almost all new drugs that are approved by the FDA mm-hmm. have to be tested. And probably food products have to be tested as well. These tests can't probably be performed on human beings before they are released to the general public. So isn't there some need for at least animal testing of new drugs and foods?
What the science shows is that there are so many alternatives to animal testing out there. And a lot of those alternatives are actually much more accurate than animal tests. So for example, there are actually companies out there that are performing tests on animals just in order to make bogus claims on their food labels. And I think people would be really surprised to know that. And they wouldn't want to be buying food that was somehow tested on animals. And they would much rather prefer the alternative, which would be really innovative, technologically innovative, non-animal testing forms.
And then finally, let's talk about the entertainment industry. That is what you concentrate your practice on, and there's particular Virginia and even Richmond ties to abuses in the entertainment industry. So let's talk in general terms, what are the problems that PETA sees in the entertainment industry?
Well, part of PETA's motto is that animals are not ours to use for entertainment, which means that humans have no business locking animals in cages for humans to gawk at, or taking baby tigers and baby bears from their mothers in order to use them as photo props, or even cutting off animals' claws and teeth so that they have no defenses against us. You know, we see that wild animals have extremely complex needs that can never truly be met in captivity, and so what PETA does is it advocates for, it encourages people never to buy a ticket to a roadside zoo or a circus that exploits wild animals. Zoos everywhere stifle animals' natural behaviors and instincts. They prevent animals from running, climbing, swimming, flying, and making all of the choices that they would in the wild. So at zoos across the country, no matter how big or fancy the zoo appears, there are animals who are exhibiting neurotic and self-mutilating kinds of behaviors because they've been driven insane by captivity. You see elephants swaying back and forth. You see bears and tigers pacing up and down in their enclosures. You see birds ripping out their feathers and primates ripping out their hair. And that's all because zoos are not truly able to meet their needs in captivity.
So can you tell us a little bit of the work that the PETA Foundation has done with Virginia roadside zoos?
Sure. You know, there are a number of roadside zoos in Virginia where animals, where PETA has documented really long-term ongoing suffering and neglect. And that includes, for example, the Natural Bridge Zoo, which is out in Natural Bridge. And over the last 2 years alone, PETA's filed at least 20 different complaints with the U.S. Department of Agriculture documenting abuse and neglect and suffering at that facility. And that really started in 2013 when an off-duty Virginia State Trooper called PETA and said that he had witnessed a handler jabbing an elephant with a bull hook and yelling obscenities at her. Since then, the U.S. Department of Agriculture has opened up an investigation that could potentially lead to a lawsuit and revocation of the facility's license. And the state actually earlier this year suspended its state license for a couple of months because of some of the really decrepit conditions that it found at the facility.
And so in particular, there was a local tie to Virginia and Richmond, in particular dealing with elephants and elephant training and bull hooks. Would you tell our listeners what that controversy was about and what was done about it?
Absolutely. And I would say it wasn't controversial at all. The public has really made clear that they don't support the abuse of elephants and animals in the circus. And so across the country, there have been towns everywhere that have been moving to pass ordinances and legislation that would ban the cruelest practices, and that includes Richmond. Earlier this year, Richmond banned the use of bull hooks, which are these weapons that resemble fireplace pokers that are used to beat and jab elephants in order to force them to perform. And Richmond banned the use of those, which means that soon elephants will no longer be subjected to that kind of abuse and deprivation as part of the circus.
And so what laws would apply to, I guess, either animal laboratory testing or the use of animals in the entertainment industry that could be used on behalf of animals who are subjected to this type of animal abuse that you describe?
There are multiple laws, and they all have kind of limited application, but the laws that PETA relies on the most to advocate for these animals are the Federal Animal Welfare Act, which regulates people who use animals in entertainment and in labs and who breed animals. And then there's also the Federal Endangered Species Act, which affords protections to animals who are considered endangered or threatened.
And so tell us more about the Federal Animal Welfare Act. So what does it apply to, and what are the prohibitions that are contained within the law?
The Animal Welfare Act regulates and licenses laboratories and animal exhibitors, and it sets out the very bare minimum standards that are required to maintain an animal's basic welfare and needs. And unfortunately, what we found, it's implemented by the U.S. Department of Agriculture, and what we found is that the U.S. Department of Agriculture is really doing a miserable job of enforcing this particular law and its very bare minimum standards. The agency is either wildly under-enforcing the law, or when it does enforce it, its own inspector general has repeatedly found that the penalties are so low that people who are penalized for violating the law simply consider it a cost of doing business. They pay their fine, and then they go right back to violating.
So how does PETA and the PETA Foundation deal with that? I mean, can you bring a case on behalf of an animal, or can you bring a case on behalf of a human being who has some interest in seeing that this law is not violated and, in fact, that this law is enforced?
We're always looking for creative ways to challenge the under-enforcement of this law and of all the other laws that are used that should be protecting animals. And we've actually filed lawsuits against the agency for its practice of rubber stamping licenses under the Animal Welfare Act. The agency just rubber stamps license renewals, even though there are people with chronic and egregious violations that the agency's own inspection reports show. And PETA's brought litigation in order to challenge that and hopefully end the long-term suffering that it helps to perpetuate.
Now, of course, there are criminal statutes against animal abuse and animal cruelty. I mean, typically those are not enforced on the state level, but they're enforced pretty much by, and certainly in Virginia, local Commonwealth's attorneys. Is that an avenue for PETA to use to see that animals at least get the minimal protections that current laws afford to them?
When we see cases of cruelty, we do our best to work with local law enforcement to push for prosecutions. Unfortunately, though, we do see really under-enforcement of cruelty laws, especially when you get into the exotics, where local law enforcement doesn't quite know what to do with a bear or an elephant, or in the case of circuses, for example. If we get a report of cruelty, and even if we have a signed affidavit or a video documenting the kind of abuse, a circus is transient. It can pack up shop and leave, and law enforcement really has trouble in terms of resources and time for going strongly after that kind of abuse.
So what can the general public do to help PETA and the PETA Foundation in your mission of really ending animal abuse, giving animals protection, and assuring that animals' rights are protected?
The general public can, I would say, with everything that they do, think, you know, what is what I'm doing somehow going to hurt an animal? And if it is, don't do it. Educate yourself. Go to PETA's website. You can see PETA's blog and read about all of the amazing things that PETA's been doing to help save animals' lives. And the other thing is that if you see cruelty, do something about it. record it, get a video of it, take photos of it, and then report it to PETA.
Very well. And again, where should people go to learn more about this issue, animal abuse, animal protection, animal rights?
People can go to PETA.org.
Well, thank you very much. We have been speaking with Rachel Matthews. She is counsel to PETA, that is People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, and she has been talking about the work that PETA and the PETA Foundation do to protect animals and animal abuse and ensure that animal rights are respected. Thank you very much for being on the show.
Thank you.
That's all for this week's Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. This show is heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. The show is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. To see if you can get free civil legal aid, call during intake hours. These are Monday through Thursday, 9 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. and 1 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. The phone number is 200-6046 for intake, 648-1012 for the main number, and 1-800-868-1012 to call toll-free. This show provides only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford one, call Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. Virginia's motor vehicle lemon law is one of the best in the nation. But how much do you know about it, and what would you do if you got stuck with a lemon? Join us next Wednesday at 12:30 p.m. when consumer protection attorney John Gale talks about the lemon law which he helped author and amend. That's law for the rest of us next week on the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. I'm Marty Wainwright.